This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, Tony D, Ron Culver. It is championship week in college basketball. This is a fun time of year. This is a year where now you are going to start seeing these bubble teams panic a little bit. They got to win some games this week. Whether you're in the Big 12 or the ACC or the SEC, wherever your conference is, you know that there is going to be all eyes on you, whether or not you can get a few more victories under your belt to maybe help you a little bit on Selection Sunday. I'm telling you, there's a game that's going to come up in the Big 12 that I think is a big, big deal for both teams. And that is Texas against Texas Tech. And I remember Texas Tech made a Final Four run last season, and Texas had won five straight before losing on Saturday to close out their regular season. But both of these teams are on the bubble, and both of these teams have a need to continue along in the Big 12 tournament to start ratcheting up some more victories and sort of maybe get comfortably off the bubble so that they actually can be chosen on Selection Sunday. The loser of this one is going to sweat, really, really, really sweat. Texas Tech was in the top 25 until they fell out and never to be returned from again. And Texas had a real struggle early on in their conference schedule, but started turning things around, securing the job for Shaka Smart. It looked like he was on his way out, and then he won five straight, and all of a sudden everything was back to normal again, but he's going to need a few more victories to do it. Look around the conference tournaments this week, and you're going to find these kind of stories popping up. It's not so much finding the team that had a really lousy season knowing it has to win the whole thing. Those are few and far between. In fact, hardly any of those ever happen. But what is important sometimes is a team that knows it has to do something in its conference tournament. They need some impressive victories, and they're going to need somebody on the committee to be really on their side when it's time to make a selection. So they got to just pick up win after win after win. There are more of those teams that legitimately could make a case for themselves this week that you just watch and pay attention to. The ACC's got a couple of them. You know, even in a conference like the Big Ten, right, where you know Kansas is probably going to get secured on a one line regardless of what happens this week. Baylor is going to get seeded pretty good. But you look at Texas, look at Oklahoma. These are teams that really are going to try to make a run and maybe impress a little bit more this week.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you be with us, Tony D, Ron Culver in the morning. Michael on Twitter has always come to our rescue whenever I've had questions about things that are a little weird and a little off the top of my head. So last hour in Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, Ron was talking about a playground for adults where you can use real, like, heavy equipment, like bulldozers and stuff. And I said, well, do you have to get certified for that? Or do you have to, like, does the average professional bulldozer driver have to, does he have to get certified by the state to run one of those things, one of those backhoes and stuff? I didn't know. Michael knew. Said, I'm a structural engineer. I don't believe you need a certification to operate that kind of heavy equipment. It's sort of self-policing. An owner of a company wouldn't allow somebody to operate very expensive equipment without knowing what he's doing. Yeah, that makes sense. I thought you had to be certified by the state. So I didn't know if the state had to come in and go, yeah, you have to come and get your backhoe license or whatever. But now I know.
I mean, that seems to make sense.
Doesn't it make sense? When you say, look, if you're going to be on a construction site and you're going to run a bulldozer or you're going to run a whatever it is machine, you know, we have a method of you being sure that you're able to do this.
Listen, there's a couple of construction sites happening around my neighborhood.
Yes.
They're putting in new shopping centers. So I'm led to believe that these guys don't have any certification, that it was just, hey, Bob, we want to train you on the backhoe today.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, I guess it's not that hard to dig a hole, but still.
Well, maybe it is with that piece of equipment.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking. There's got to be some math involved.
Okay, let me tell you a quick story. Because I like telling these stories. Okay, it's a little story time, but this reminded me of a story. When I was first getting into this business, I covered auto racing. I think I've told this many times. My boss was like, I don't cover auto racing. You're covering auto racing. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't know anything about it. But as part of a kind of a thank you for New Hampshire International Speedway, they gave me an invite into race car driving school that was going on at the track. They got me in. I did a story on it. It was pretty awesome. And I got to go around the racetrack. But one of the things that we got to do was change a NASCAR tire, right? So they would lift the car up and you take the gun and you put it on the lug nuts and you go, and you take the wheel off, put the wheel on, and then done, right? And they would just see how you did. And I thought this was, it looked pretty easy on TV. Like, all right, I don't even have to do anything. Like, there's a person putting he's just with the gun. He's just, like, they don't even put, they have somebody put the tire on, right? And I thought, this is pretty cool. All right, I changed one tire in a minute 15. A professional changes it in, like, 3 seconds. like, it took me forever to get the lug nuts off the tire because I thought, this seems like something easy to do. And I didn't realize it was not easy to do. It was not as easy as I thought. The gun was like jamming. I had to hold it steady. I wasn't holding it steady enough. Then when I put the tire on, I'd have to make sure the lug nut was on the gun. And then sometimes it wouldn't be on the gun. And I realized, okay, I have a lot more respect for the people who do this than not. And maybe that's the way with big, heavy machinery. Maybe it looks like you could just grab the controls and dig a hole, but maybe, just maybe, you would be like, oh, wait, this is actually more difficult than I thought. Accurately digging a hole. Like if somebody said, see that little mark? I need you to dig that mark out of the ground. You'd be like, okay. And then he comes and there's all sorts of holes, but not that particular one. Still would be a blast.
Don't you just spray paint an X?
Yeah, right.
That's not how it works. You just spray paint a big X and like right there.
Put it right there.
Can't miss it. Big, gigantic orange X.
We're going to talk ACC tournament coming up. That's going on in Greensboro, North Carolina today. Greensboro, North Carolina is a nice place.
Yep.
It's been hosting this tournament for a long time. Sometimes it disappears for other locations, but Greensboro seems to be one of the places it likes to go.
Also hosting some first round matchups.
That's true. It's a nice part of the country. Right, ACC tournament, we'll talk about Florida State, if they're for real. What about Virginia? They've gone 11-1 over the last 12.
Sound right. Every time
you've
said it a couple times, yesterday and today, that they're the regular season champions, and I still choose not to believe you.
Nope, you're 100% right. Florida State won it in a year where Duke struggled, where North Carolina was in the toilet.
Absent.
Virginia had a good close of the year. They went 11-1 to close out the season, but they had suffered a couple of losses. There was a 3-game stretch, I believe, in January where they lost 3 in a row. And remember, Virginia lost 3 starters last year. So like their national championship team is not coming back, with full force. Louisville had some issues, and Florida State chugging along. And winning games and went on a big win streak in ACC play and off they went. Leonard Hamilton's got his Seminoles, the number one seed in the ACC tournament. Duke, Louisville, and Virginia all a game back of the Seminoles in the conference standings. Would it have been different if North Carolina was good? I don't know. Florida State's a decent team. But, Syracuse wasn't all that awesome. NC State wasn't all that awesome. You know who had a pretty good year but can't do anything with it? Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech closed out the season. I think they won 4 of their last 5. No, they won 4 straight. They won 6 of their last 7. And they can't go anywhere because they got an NCAA postseason ban for recruiting violation. So they can't go to Greensboro and they can't go to the tournament. So too bad for them. But no, North Carolina didn't have a very good season and Florida State ends up winning it. You know, because again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Florida State had been in the ACC forever, but the reality of it is, was when you're in, especially in college basketball, they weren't really a huge basketball school. So Duke was winning it. North Carolina was winning it. North Carolina State, name your team. Even Maryland, when they used to be in the ACC, when Gary Williams had them running, they would win it, but Florida State wouldn't. Florida State was kind of middle of the road.
No, they were a football school.
Right, they were a football school. They would take care of the ACC football issue, and then Duke and North Carolina and everybody else, the usual suspects, well, no, they were all...
It's just like, you know, what was it? I feel like it might have been 3 or 4 years ago when Duke was really good at football.
Yeah, when Duke actually went to the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you sat there and were like, no, they didn't.
Yeah, right.
Because Duke is not a football school. It's a basketball school. Duke was put on the schedule for teams in the ACC to say, okay, we can rest some of our starters. Let's play some of the backups.
Right.
Let's heal up from these injuries. And that's what it is in basketball. Florida State is supposed to be the cupcake for Duke, you know, the tune-up game.
Yep.
Florida State doesn't have basketball.
Good job. Just the Seminoles.
Like, that was a couple, wasn't it like 3 or 4 years ago, too, where Alabama had a good run? In the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a basketball school. Stop it.
Same thing. Yeah,
stop it.
Every now and then. Every now and then, you never know.
No, I do know.
You do know.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work for me.
Like I said at the top of the hour, this is going to be an interesting week. I mean, there are teams that are like, it's kind of do or die. I mean, like, if you're the Tennessee Volunteers, Tennessee and Alabama are going to face off each other in the opening round of the SEC tournament. Both of those teams are on the bubble real bad. Both teams need some impressive wins. Both teams need to do something. And you get these little desperation games in the conference tournament where you don't have to win it. And nobody, you know, the selection committee with some of these bubble teams aren't asking you to win the whole thing. Oh, it certainly would make their decision easier given that you'd get the automatic bid. But what they're saying is, look, just go win some games. Look, like if you're going to progress to the finals or maybe the semifinals, chances are you've picked up some quad one victories along the way, and that's going to enhance your resume. So that's when you start seeing some pressure. Like I said about Texas and Texas Tech, it's too bad one of these teams, you know, is probably going to be left out of the tournament with a loss. Whoever loses that opening game is probably not getting in. I'd be really surprised if either one of them get in. But, you know, one of them is going to impress the resume, you know, just build up the resume a little bit more. Right? And that's going to go on all week. Right? By the way, congratulations to East Tennessee State punching their ticket into the tournament last night with a SoCon victory over the Wofford Terriers. Bet you didn't know the Wofford Terriers were in the finals of the SoCon.
Oh, of course I knew that, yeah, Tony. Well, Wofford's always there.
Wofford is always there.
That's one of those schools. Yeah, I only hear about them like once or twice a year.
That's it.
And
some of these
right now.
Same thing with the team I was talking about yesterday. Remember Winthrop?
Yeah,
Winthrop is in, I think, Rock Hill, South Carolina. But
see, I mean, you can.
I only hear about them every now and then when they make the tournament.
Yeah, Wofford. I have no idea where Wofford is.
Yeah, right. No idea. I
mean, do you have any guesses where Wofford could be?
I think it's in Greenville, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah,
Wofford.
Wofford is
in
South Carolina.
Say that about Winthrop?
Winthrop is in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Yeah, I knew that. I think Wofford
is in downtown Spartanburg.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Carolina.
All right, close.
Not bad, but close.
Not bad.
You got the state. I wouldn't even gotten the state.
All right.
I guarantee I would have been like all over the place.
East Tennessee State plays in Johnson City, which is on the Virginia border. So just keep an eye on the Buccaneers in this tournament, man.
Why don't they make it easy? Like, you know, in California, we literally have the name of the town or city the school is located in.
Yeah. Like UC Santa Barbara.
You know that's in Santa Barbara. Yep. California State University, Bakersfield.
Right. UC Davis.
Yeah.
Which is the school that's the banana slugs?
That would be Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz?
UC Santa Cruz.
Nice. I like that.
And then you have UC Irvine, which are the anteaters.
Santa Clara, is that UC Santa Clara? Or I'm thinking about the school Steve Nash played for that beat Arizona that year in the early 90s.
Ooh.
Was that?
I don't know if it's a UC.
California Santa Clara?
I think it's California State.
Or is that another one of those where it's like there's a Santa Clara in Utah that we don't know about? They just have university.
You know, you always have one of those, right?
Right. Every now and then you get one, you're like, oh, that's got to be in that. No. It's not that one. It's this one. You're thinking of that one.
Yeah, no, right? Santa Clara Broncos.
Broncos. That's Steve Nash played for them.
Did they? Okay.
Yep. Steve Nash, he beat Arizona. He beat Lute Olson and the Arizona Wildcats. And there was a 15 over a 2, if I'm not mistaken. I think 92-3, early 90s. Yeah.
Yep. There it is. Retired his jersey.
Retired his
jersey. Now, that Santa Clara team, I don't know if they have any games left at home, but they can only, they would have to not allow 3,600 people into their arena if they decided to fill it to capacity.
So they only hold 4,500 or 4,700?
4,500 people.
All right.
They could only allow in, they would have to say no to 3,600 if they have any more games left.
Same, you know what? I threw the question out there earlier about the heavy equipment, whether you need state certification to run a bulldozer.
Yep.
Still waiting for the lawyer out there that can tell me whether or not limiting people from gathering is constitutional.
Is that allowed?
Can you prevent 1,000 people from gathering in this country, given we have a right to free assembly? Can the government, can the state tell 1,001 people, you got to kick a guy out?
Is there a little addendum in the fine print in the Bill of Rights?
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Let's say you have the right to free assembly, but only up to 999 people. After that, you need a permit.
I know there's some lawyers out there. You hit me up on Twitter with that answer. Come on now. Help me out. Because you know what?
I just think this is the beginning. Santa Clara saying, hey, you can only have 999 people at any function. Next, NBA's, you know, might be Golden State. Warriors just going, no, we're not allowing anybody in today.
Family and friends? Is that it?
I don't even know. Maybe you don't allow friends. Maybe family.
That's right. Well,
if it's the Warriors, you can't say no to Aisha.
Right, but you can. But at the NBA, you can go. You can go home to them, but you can't hang out here.
Oh, there we go. NBA right? steps in.
NBA goes, you want to go home and do that? Fine, but you can't. Not here. Not in this arena.
Then the Warriors sign a petition.
You can kiss your wife at home, but you can't here.
Then the Warriors sign a petition. Go, we have the right to assemble.
Right. There's all sorts of. I'm coming up with some crazy stuff this morning. This is a weird morning.
Yeah, who's going to sue?
I'm asking about constitutional law.
Okay, here's the deal, right? Italy closes their entire state. They don't allow any stadiums. No one is suing in Italy. Everyone's on board. In the United States, you know someone's going to sue somebody.
Of course.
They're just going to do it.
It's a lawyer waiting in the wings.
God, he's sitting there with his business card just waiting. Who's my puppet? Need one person to come forward.
Let's try it. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Again, coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk ACC tournament as that gets underway in North Carolina. So we continue along. It's Tony D and Ron Culver in the morning.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I have a car problem, but don't know where to go. Maybe you're not close to home when your car breaks down, so let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you, or visit O'Reilly.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Again, we'll talk ACC tournament coming up. As we're going to do this all week, we're going to be kind of breaking down the conference tournaments leading up to Selection Sunday. I can't wait. Selection Sunday is one of my favorite times of the year because I don't know what it is about it. It's, I love printing out the bracket and I like filling it out and I like analyzing it. And I don't know. It's just a joy.
You know what?
I love doing it.
There's the hope that you know the perfect bracket.
Right. That's right. Now,
It's like the start of any season, any sports season. We're always excited because it's a clean slate.
Yeah.
But this one gets wrapped up in 3 weeks.
Isn't it weird how, like, you get your bracket and you fill it out and then you go, okay. And then when you get, like, there's an anxiety when the team you have going to, let's say, the Final Four is losing in that first day.
Yeah.
And you're just like, let's say you have, I don't know, like Kansas. Now, Kansas will be a number one seed. So let's take like a 3 or 4, like Baylor.
Well, you can use Kansas.
Yeah, right, maybe Kansas.
We probably did this with Virginia.
That's true. That's probably true. So let's say you had Kansas going like to the final game.
Yeah.
Right? And they're playing on Friday night. And you're just sitting there and you're like, God, this is too close.
Or worse yet, you know, maybe they have that Sunday game.
Right, yeah, yeah,
because they
right.
won their first round.
They won their first round.
But then they're playing against a more formidable opponent, an 8-9 seed.
You're like, why isn't this team going away? Yeah.
What is going on?
What is happening?
Does it really impact your life versus, you know, the coronavirus getting you next?
Right.
I mean, that's really, but we're going to be more concerned about our brackets than the coronavirus. Guaranteed.
Yeah, and there's like a yearly tradition of people like on social media, like as soon as Thursday or Friday happens, they're like, had to rip up my bracket. Because why? Because there was 15 upsets or you didn't pick right? Or how did, you know, hang in there. Because remember, if you have a team like oh God, you know, like Kansas losing round two, chances are everybody else did too, right? The one time I was in an office pool, I was at this radio station in Colorado. And there was one guy who was running it. So he was going around, everybody get picked in brackets. So we filled out the brackets. And then there was a big upset. And I kind of forget. I want to say Bucknell was involved or something. And the only person that had it was his girlfriend. And then the next, like the first time he listed the standings, he didn't do it. He listed it alphabetically. By name, rather than who was on top and who was down at the bottom, like you would, I don't know, like a normal standings. And we all got a little suspicious that his girlfriend was like leading the tournament and she was listed in the middle of the pack, like we wouldn't notice that his girlfriend was missing. So we started like questioning, hey, where's her bracket? Like, let me take a look at her bracket. Cause she went like 15-1. First day, I'm like, that's impossible. There was like three upsets. There's no way she went and she did this. And that's when we got a little suspicious. Because I always get, you know, every now and then somebody will pick an upset and it's fine, it's great. But when somebody goes, like, they have three or four, they go, I picked that one, and that one. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know about that. Never get too upset about upsets. Chances are everybody's going down with you. It's when you take a gamble on a team. It's when you go, I really love, some team in the mid part of the SEC. Like, let's say you think Texas A&M is playing really well, or you think Tennessee's playing really well, or like Alabama, and you pick them to go like to the Elite Eight and then they lose in round one. That's where you get in trouble in picking these things, is when you kind of take a chance. You take a flyer on like an 8 or 9 seed. And you think they're going to go pretty deep. Now, an 8 seed would be tough because the 8 would play the 1 pretty quickly. Yeah, but, you know, somewhere like a 10 seed getting a little bit more further along in the tournament than everybody else. And then when they're kicked out of the thing in the first round, that's when you get in trouble. But if you have, you know, if you take Villanova to win it all and they get upset in round 2, yeah, if Villanova was going in the hottest team in college basketball, chances are many people did too. I always advise people who are filling out for the first time, don't be afraid to go chalk. I know people you want to throw some upsets, but when push comes to shove, go chalk.
Well, that's why we tell, you know, advise people. I mean, I don't know if we advise, but, you know, 12-5 kind of seems like a given nowadays. Yeah. There's always going to be at least one or two. Recent years, 13-4.
13-4 has been picking up some momentum, yeah.
But it's funny because when you say go chalk, 11-6 never seems to really be an upset.
No, that's true. That's true. You know what's a question you and I talked about a year ago? Because when we don't remember back
that far.
Well, I remember we had this conversation about Virginia running through the tournament.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, remember when they lost to UMBC the year before? And I thought to myself, could UMBC's win over Virginia be the breaking of the 4-minute mile? Like, it never was going to happen, and then as soon as it happens, everybody was doing it. Like, are we now going to get more 16s over ones now that we feel like there's a proverbial break in the idea that it could happen?
I'm not sure about that, but if I remember correctly, the reason why that happened was because Virginia had a really young squad. UMBC had a bunch of seniors.
Yeah, but you could get that again.
You definitely could.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's as impossible as it once was.
You know what it takes? It takes the committee misseeding a team.
Right.
It takes a committee taking a team that's probably more a 2 and giving them the benefit of the doubt and putting them in the 1, where they're more susceptible to somebody going, we're going to shoot lights out and we're really good and we're having the game of our life and we're going to, because when I was younger, Princeton took Georgetown to the limit. Pete Carrell and that Princeton offense took Georgetown to the limit. And there was a moment late in that game where I thought Princeton was pulling it off. And I never saw it close again. I never saw it close again until UMBC pulled it off against Virginia a couple of years ago. Anyway, we'll talk ACC tournament in North Carolina next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. ACC tournament going on in Greensboro, North Carolina. Florida State is the number one seed. It's been a bad year for North Carolina, a traditional stalwart in this thing. You know, Duke has won 21 ACC tournament titles. North Carolina had won 18. North Carolina State had won 10. You know, there was a time where these conference tournaments, coaches didn't really like them. They didn't like the sort of emphasis on it at the end of the season. You know, they thought bigger body of work was really what told your story more than going to an end of the year tournament and then losing in the second round to a team that is a little desperate, that felt like it put a statement on your season that really wasn't quite there. But I think coaches, kind of like a little bit of the pre-preparation for the NCAA tournament, the sort of, you know, we're going through this, or how we prepare night in and night out for different teams, you know, the tournament run, the tournament setting. Yeah, it's a little bit of a good primer. I do understand some of the concerns. I mean, look, it is, you know, it's neat when a school in the middle of the pack that's had a mediocre year makes a run and wins the whole thing. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, they now get to go to the NCAA tournament. And some really good teams are not, because this conference isn't really going to get a ton of at-large bids. The ACC, not so much. I mean, they're going to have a bunch of teams in it. But there are some teams that are going to need some work. There are some teams that are going to need to show up and win some games and be impressive. And I think that's the thing I like watching. I've kind of been saying it all morning. Is that one of the things about this is it does give you a second chance to sort of get your season and put something there when you may have lacked during the regular season, right? Whether if you're Syracuse, if you are a team in the middle of the pack, again, North Carolina State may need a couple of wins. But when you've got some familiarity, you know, you're playing these teams maybe the third time during the season, you know, some really fun things can happen and some upsets can really can take place, and times of days. I mean, that's what I like about it. Joe Giulio joins us, the news and observer for the ACC tournament. How are you, Joe?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. What is the overriding story going into the ACC with North Carolina down this season, Florida State, first time ever winning the regular season championship going into this tournament? What is the overriding story of what the ACC is going to present this week?
Yeah, well, it seems like, is there a team good enough to make a real run next week in the NCAA tournament? I think this tournament will be fine in Greensboro, but it's the real question is, are any of these teams, Louisville, Florida State, Virginia, Duke, really good enough to make a difference next week?
Is there a sense that some of these teams, including the national champion Virginia Cavaliers, are vulnerable enough and they need to showcase something before next week's tournament, where we tend to look at more blemishes than successes in teams like Duke and like Louisville, as you mentioned, because they've been so successful, that naturally we look when things aren't really as successful?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. The problem, though, is this year there's been some strange losses by Duke and even Virginia lost some games early and have really kind of come on of late. I think Louisville losing at Virginia was a little bit of a flag for the Cardinals, because they still had a chance to win the league and they couldn't get it done. And they're kind of a strange team. They may have peaked in November. Obviously, that's not what you want to do in college basketball. So I think it is okay to look at their blemishes. It's also okay to look and see, like, who's actually really playing well. And Virginia might, and Florida State and Virginia are probably the only two that fall under that category.
Joe Giulio joins us on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Tell me more about Florida State. And this is a team, Leonard Hamilton's got a team that's, you know, obviously can, you know, playing well enough all season. This isn't a come Johnny come lately program, but winning the ACC outright during the regular season. For those who are not familiar with the style of play of the Seminoles, what are they bringing to this tournament and the NCAAs next week?
Yeah, normally they're a big team and they rely on their size. And they have some of that this year, but this might be his best group of guards for Leonard Hamilton. Trent Forrest is his point guard. He's really good. Devin Vassell is his primary scorer. And then MJ Walker is a kid who's really kind of come on. And Patrick Williams is a freshman from Charlotte. So normally you think of Florida State, they're long, they're athletic. They kind of beat you up. They defend. But they're not exactly the most skilled team in the history of the world. This Florida State group, actually, they have a really good group of guards, which in March is usually a really good thing to have.
Absolutely. Who has to win some games this week? We know that the top, it's top good. Middle of the road, who has to really showcase and win some games?
I think if NC State wants to feel good about its spot on the bubble, it needs to beat Duke on Thursday. They have to win on Wednesday, too, with NC State. They're kind of up and down. So they're really the only ones, I feel like, who have a shot at getting into the tournament. I think Clemson, if they had closed a little bit stronger, Syracuse is kind of faded. I mean, you know, I would have surprised me if Syracuse figured out a way to actually win a tournament. Probably not, but most teams in the ACC know how to play against their zone. It's kind of weird. You know, Syracuse gets into the NCAA tournament. They show up in the Sweet 16. They show up in the Final Four. And it's like all you got to do is watch a video of Roy Williams and Carolina playing against them to know how to beat them. But other teams can't figure that out.
It is amazing. You are so right about that. It is amazing that with all of the preparation you can do, that Syracuse zone still tricks people up in the tournament. Because you're right. Jim Boeheim has, you know, teams that are like middle of the road in the conference, and then whatever reason, they get in, and people can't play against the zone, and they find themselves in the Elite Eight.
It's like clockwork. It's crazy.
Clockwork. It's nuts. You're right. Let's get to Virginia. They closed out the season 11-1 over their final 12. They did lose a lot of players last year from the championship team. But the system, I think, is still in place for Tony Bennett. What is this Virginia team like compared to what we've seen last year?
Yeah. One thing about me is I enjoy being right. And in the summer, I wrote, this is a totally free season for Virginia. No, there is no expectation. They lost so many players. And after last year of having all that pressure of losing to UMBC, you know, the historic loss in the NCAA tournament, every game was this referendum. This year was the complete opposite. They started a little bit slow because they are limited on offense. But defensively, they're exceptional as they always are. And now they've won 8 games in a row. Tony Bennett has been playing with so much confidence. It's really kind of amazing. And every game they play is decided by, you know, a handful of points, if not less. And they just have a confidence that they're going to win those close games.
I want to talk about North Carolina, and listen, it's easy to get to where the bread and butter lies in the tournament and who's going to be around. But the Tar Heels had a really awful season. I know they were plagued with some injuries and whatnot. But is this still, should they have been deep enough to not be in last place in this conference?
It's probably fair to say that because they lost. They were the opposite of Virginia. They lost every close game they played. And at some point, you have to wonder, well, are you just cursed? You have bad luck? What could possibly be the reason? Because you're playing good games, you're just not closing them out. And that's the confidence part. I think they just got themselves into this situation where it was, uh-oh, here we go again. Whereas, you know, Virginia plays a game, and it's like, oh, it's great. It's close. We're going to win. Cole Anthony's injury obviously played a big part in Carolina's problems this season. They're obviously a dangerous team this week because Garrison Brooks has been playing really well. He's figured out how to play with Cole Anthony, which helps Carolina's cause. But I don't think they shoot the ball well enough to win 5 games in 5 days.
When you look at Duke, when you looked at some of the struggles that Duke had in their losses this season, is there a glaring weakness that makes people kind of hesitant on Duke's chances of winning the title? Or do they go, well, all teams are going to have a weakness going into the tournament. Mike Krzyzewski handles that better come tournament time.
Yeah, it's okay to give Mike Krzyzewski credit in March, for sure. He has earned that. This Duke team doesn't shoot the ball well enough, though. They're not particularly deep beyond their top two players. They have some good role players, Jordan Goldmeyer among them, but their wing shooters don't shoot the ball well enough outside of Cameron Indoor Stadium. And I keep looking at the schedule, and I keep looking to see if the ACC tournament or NCAA tournament is played in Cameron Indoor Stadium.
Yeah.
And as of today, it's not. So Trey Jones is a good player. He's had a good year. Brent Carey is a good player, not great. He's not in Zion's class. He's not in Jason Tatum's class. He's just a good player. And Duke is used to having these supernova-type players. And you're going to see them in March and go, okay, they're good, but they're not great.
One of the missing components of this ACC tournament is Georgia Tech because of the postseason ban. And I don't like to play woulda, coulda, shoulda, but they actually started playing really good at the end of the season. And I'm wondering if they had gotten into this thing without the ban, if they would have made some noise and scared some teams.
I think so, because they play a lot like Virginia. They have a defensive style that is unorthodox. But they actually have better skill players than Virginia. Jose Alvarado had a great year at point guard for them, and James Banks is a kid out of Texas who was a revelation last year and is a defensive force, and Michael DeVoe is a really good scorer. You know, they were the kind of team this year, I always pick a surprise team in the summer, and then my surprise team is never wrong, and they held up to that. So under difficult circumstances, because, you know, they knew they were cooked before the season started, but they still figured out a way to really kind of show up when it mattered in the game, in the bigger games. So hats off to Josh Pastner for the job that he did.
Absolutely. Joe, great talking to you. Enjoy the ACC tournament this week. I really appreciate your time, my friend.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate you.
Joe Giulio, again, the news and observer at the ACC tournament in Greensboro, on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Thoughts on that and a few other things coming up on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know what I got the feeling from the ACC tournament listening to that? I don't think anybody from the ACC is going to win the national championship.
I don't think so either. Well, he said that what you got to hope for is one of these teams to get hot during this tournament and then have a spillover into the next.
That's right. That's right. But that's what you need.
I don't even know if any of these teams are making it to the Elite Eight.
Right. Well, that's the thing, though. That's one of the reasons I asked the question the way I did about Duke. Because, again, when you've had so much success that Duke has, it's easy to just go, they're Duke. But what we do in the media is we go, oh, yeah, well, they're not like other Duke championship teams because they don't do this well or that well.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they're that they can't win the title. It just means they're not as good as other Duke teams that did. Right. Maybe this group of basketball teams that are in this year's tournament are totally fine for Duke to roll through. But he is right. They don't shoot the ball well, and they just don't have the same level of talent outside their top two players. And he makes a very good point. And in their losses this year, that has been their problem. But you feel like Louisville's a little flawed. Virginia doesn't score a lot either. You know, they never really did, but you know, defensively they're still great. But you might need a little bit more scoring pop. But again, going into this year with the kind of losses that they had, it's hard to think that they can repeat with a whole different group of guys that are running that team than from last year. Florida State is your best bet, but I don't think anybody really knows about them. I just don't think people
Florida
have been paying
State
attention
is not gonna do
about Florida
anything.
State. I don't think Florida State's winning the national championship.
No. I mean, you know what? Here's the deal. And we say it all the time, too. It all depends on the seeding.
Sure, of course. I mean, and it doesn't matter who you run into.
Right.
Right. Maybe Kansas gets upset and nobody has to play them.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe if you're in that bracket, Kansas, obviously, you know, being the number one seed might have an easier path to the Final Four. Like,
sure.
You know, getting all the lower seeded numbers or the lower teams in that seeding group. If you're Duke and say you pull the number two, number three seed and you're in that same bracket as Kansas and Kansas does drop, then you have an easier path. And then we could see Duke playing in the Elite Eight or playing in the Final Four. But get out of here with that Florida State junk. That's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Seminole fans. I'm not a believer. You got to do something to convince me to believe. You're a football school.
But again, look at the middle of the pack of this thing. NC State needs some wins. Notre Dame needs wins. Syracuse needs wins. That's it. I mean, they're about four heavy. That's it.
All right. I mean, you know what? One of the things that somebody needs to explain to me, Michael, is how is Notre Dame in one conference and then independent in other sports?
They got an exemption.
I mean, how is that possible? It shouldn't be allowed.
It shouldn't, but the reason they do it is because
it's Notre Dame.
No, because they get because NBC is paying them for football. And they're like, we're not sharing this with anybody else. Are you kidding
me? Sharing it with the NCAA, I guess, because the NCAA is like, sure, you guys can remain independent in football.
Yeah, of course. They're like, listen, we're getting this big check from NBC for our games, and you want us to share it with other teams in a conference? You're insane. No chance. We're not giving this money to Duke. Are you out of your mind? Like, we're not coming. We're not going to play ACC football and have Notre Dame have NBC cut us a check for us, and we got to give it to Miami. What are you crazy?
Yeah, it bothers me. Yeah, it really bothers me that Notre Dame can get away with that. Because I mean, does it stop there? No, other teams can petition, can't it, and cite the Notre Dame clause.
True. True. BYU I think BYU is still independent in football.
Yeah, but they're not as much of a threat.
But they have a big, huge, huge network. They have a big, huge, Cougar network out in the West area and around the globe. But I understand what you're saying, yeah. The swim team has to be in the ACC, but the football team can make its own schedule.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense. SB Nation AM.